Today is Thursday, January 12th, 2012. We're on with guest Ken Smith, who is, in addition to being a staff writer for Veterans Today, he's also actively involved in the homeless veterans movement and has been a manager, administrator, I guess CEO for a shelter is what the best title I'd give you. But, you know, I was reading your recent article that came out this week in Veterans Today about how Mitt Romney told the veterans to go milk cows. And you read the story, and this is really a pretty funny story. I followed up with you about this. This is really why I contacted you to be a guest this week, because of that story. And, you know, it's an interesting story. And why don't you go ahead and share a little bit of your experience with that and your experience with Senator Kennedy as well, because, like as you and I have discussed, sometimes the media doesn't portray people the way they really are. The media creates as much of the news as they report. So you just go ahead. I really enjoyed that that story about Romney in particular.
Well, it was it was in 1994. Mitt Romney and Ted Kennedy were in a Senate race in the state of Massachusetts. So obviously, there's homeless veteran shelters in Boston. There are 500 guys who live there. They're all voters. So one of the things we mandated, if you came to the facility, you had to register to vote. I didn't care if you're Republican or Democrat or Independent, but you had to register to vote. So we had 500 voters. And, you know, it was in the early 90s, early to mid-90s, so homelessness was kind of a vote thing at the time. So we invited both Senator Kennedy and Mitt Romney to come for a tour of the facility, see our programs, what we do, how we did it. And the first to come was Senator Kennedy. He spent close to half an hour, and he was very impressed. And he said, "You know, if I'm elected or if I'm re-elected to the Senate, you know, I'll be the friend of this shelter." And he, you know, he kept to his word. And then Mitt Romney came a couple 3 days later, and he spent about an hour. I asked a ton of questions. He was almost, you know, surgical in his approach to every little tiny detail of the facility. The guy's a sponge, and he really, you know, was inquisitive and, you know, wanted to know the answers to 100 different things. But you have to remember, these guys would come with TV crews and print reporters and their own staff, so it was kind of hard. But anyway, at the end of Mitt Romney's hour in this homeless shelter, he, you know, he's ready to go out the front door. He pulls me aside and he says, you know, what's one of the biggest problems you're facing, like, today, right now? And I said, well, milk. And he said, well, milk? What do you mean milk? What do you mean milk? And I said, well, you know, the state of Massachusetts, and I had a contract for veterans, and they were giving me $2.35 per day per veteran, and I had to feed them breakfast, and I had to feed them dinner. And to give each veteran a pint of milk at breakfast and at dinner was like one of the biggest expenses I had. And so when I said, you know, my problem is milk, milk is very expensive, and I don't have enough money to, you know, get more milk. And Mitt Romney, you know, at the time I didn't realize it, but Mitt Romney has kind of a funny bone. So Mitt Romney said, well, why don't you teach the homeless vets how to milk cows? And he walked out. So a reporter came over to me and said, did Mitt Romney just tell you to have a veteran milk some cows? And I was like, yeah. Well, that became a story very similar to, you know, Mitt Romney now having, you know, telling people to get fired or whatever. It got blown all out of proportion.
He said he likes to fire people, yeah.
Yeah, so it got blown all out of proportion. And the next day, the Mitt Romney people called me, their hair were on fire, and they were extremely upset with me. And
there's our break music again. And let's put this on hold until we come back. We'll be back in 3 minutes to finish this story, because it's a good story.
Sure.
Have you been diagnosed with cancer and told that there isn't any alternative to chemo, radiation, and surgery? Are you tired of hearing that if you want to survive, you must be brave and accept the suffering that comes with cancer treatments today? LaserMed Inc. says, fight back! Because now it's cancer's turn to die with its revolutionary patented laser treatment called Leash Therapy. Without cutting, bleeding, poisoning, or damaging radiation, we can kill skin and breast cancer in place, as well as some other types of cancer, no matter what the size. To find out if you qualify for this therapy, call 918-398-9577. That's 918-398-9577. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com. That's LASEMEDINC.com.
Survival of the fittest. In any and all situations, survival is your number one priority. That requires being tough and thinking smart. And the folks at Freeze Dry Guy are going to help you do just that. They have the long-range patrol ration entrees, what they call the brick pack. When you're in survival mode, it is absolutely the best item for your survival pack or bug-out bag. You can go farther, faster, and carry more food with the LRP cold weather ration entrees. Not only do these long-lasting, durable entrees help sustain you or your family through the harshest environment or situation, they are by far the most delicious of their kind. No contest. With a variety of tasty entrees, you can't beat the LRP brick packs. Let Freeze Dry Guy help you in your survival situations. Go to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com. Or call 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-FOOD.
Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
Good morning. Welcome back. Hear us on Republic Broadcasting Network. It is Thursday, January 12, 2012. We're on with special guest Ken Smith. And Ken, before the commercial break there, you were telling us about how the Mitt Romney people came in after a reporter overhearing that Mitt said that the veterans should go milk cows, and how this got misreported and blown into a big dust up here. So well, why don't you go ahead and finish that, because this is a really good story.
So, Mitt Romney had told me to, have the homeless vets milk cows because I told them I had a problem with milk. The next day, the Romney people called me. They were, wildly upset. And actually, that same day, Mitt Romney himself called me. And he said, Ken, this is my fault. This is my fault. I take full responsibility for it. And, it wasn't, you didn't do it. I did. He kind of manned up to it and, asked me to re-explain the problem. And I told him, I'm using, well in excess of 1,000 pints of milk a day, 7,000 pints of milk a week. And he said, well, he'd see what he could do to help. And a couple, 3 days later, the supplier of milk that we had said, hey, there's been an anonymous donor who is going to donate half the cost of your milk. And so I attributed it to, Romney picking up the phone and calling some, very wealthy friend of his. And I said, thank you. And I thought we'd go on for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, maybe a couple of months. But it went on, and it continued on. It continued on not for weeks or months, but for years. So for a couple of years, the bill that we would get would be half the price of what the actual bill was. And fast forward, you know, years later, and I find out that the person who was paying the bill was Romney. So he wasn't doing it because he had sent a press release. He wasn't doing it because, you know, he was telling everybody how he was helping veterans who are homeless. He just did it out of his own pocket without telling anybody, including me for a long time. So so that tells you something about him, that, you know, he's not what everyone, I think, kind of sees. A lot of people see this real stiff guy. I think he's got a wicked funny bone. And, you know, this, you know, he's extremely wealthy, to care about Americans, and that's just not true either. So I'm not trying to endorse anybody or persuade anybody, but this is just kind of an insight onto a guy that you may or may not even know.
Well, you know,
at the same time, you know, you know, there's others in the race. There's Gingrich in the race. You know, Governor Perry from Texas is in the race. Ron Paul's in the race. So, but I think getting an insight on what Romney is about is important.
Well, really, what you just described there is really the true nature of Christian charity, and that is you don't give things you know, to get attention for yourself. You give things because it's the right thing to do, and I have to take my hat off to you know, Governor Romney for doing such a kind act. I thought that was a very that's why I wanted you to share the story, because, you know, I ran for governor of Arizona, and, you know, I know what the news media can do. That They're looking to slice and dice you. They're looking for flaw in every candidate. And they really do a disservice by not focusing on who the person really is. They try to create images and project an image on what that person is, where it may or may not be have any basis in reality at all. So I'm really glad you shared that story. That's that's certainly a good one.
Yeah.
So, you know, what else do you want to talk about? We've got some time here. You know, you're the guest. I want to make sure that our listeners have the ability to support your organization and to really help homeless vets everywhere, because, you know, every citizen in the U.S. owes a veteran somehow, some way. We owe them. And they took an oath to you know, protect the country and to protect the Constitution from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we owe every veteran who served. And these homeless guys, you know, I've had a couple of sessions on here with Alan Rowland, and not every wound can be seen. It's easy to see the guy who is wounded, who is an amputee, for instance. But a lot of times we have veterans who return who have, you know, emotional issues, or maybe they've had a traumatic brain injury, or some other problem. There's invisible wounds that don't have a physical source that you can't see from looking. So I just want to make sure that you know, this homeless issue gets addressed, and that people have the ability, because, like I said, every American citizen owes a veteran.
Well, you know, I would think that if anyone wants to, you know, help an American veteran, you know, they can go, again, to that website, veterans911.com. And if any veteran who's listening to this program needs assistance, they can go there, too. So it's veterans911.com. And, you know, you're right. You know, the vast majority of veterans who are homeless have issues well beyond the you know, the combat injury, the obvious combat injury, the amputation or the blindness or the deafness or whatever. Most of the veterans who are homeless, 9 out of 10 veterans who are homeless have substance abuse issues. And, you know, homelessness begins on your mother's couch. So it's not what most people think. So, you know, homelessness, you know, comes for a variety of reasons. People don't grow up to become homeless. So, but homelessness begins on your mom's couch. It then moves to your car if you have one. It then ends up being, you end up going to a shelter. Homelessness is a hard, hard way of life. You know, think about homelessness when it's raining or it's snowing or, You know, you have to go to the bathroom. You have to take a shower. You don't have any place to carry. Everything you own, you're carrying. So you're back. You know, it reminds me, homelessness is kind of like when I was in the infantry in Vietnam. Everything I owned, I carried with me. So, and if someone's looking to help American veterans, they can go to veterans911.com. And there's a way there. There's something that says volunteer, or there's a donate button. If you can't volunteer, then donate to it. So, and that will be something that, you know, I think I told you earlier about 20 to 25% of the people who answer the phones for Veterans 911 are from Texas. Well, another 8% are from the Philippines. So you say, there are people in the Philippines answering calls from American veterans? Yeah. And they just happen to be American veterans who live in the Philippines, who have married indigenously to Philippine women. They get out of the military, they have their disability compensation, or they have their retirement or their pension, and they can live better in the Philippines than they can, you know, in Philadelphia. So, it's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, but it's 10 p.m. In the Philippines. So when it's 2 o'clock in the morning here in the East Coast, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon in the Philippines. So there are about 40 or 50 veterans in the Philippines who answer the phones. You would never know it. No one's saying, hey, my name is Joe and I'm from the Philippines. So if someone wants to help, they can go to veterans911.com. There's a way to, you know, volunteer. There's a way to make a contribution. There's a way to, you know, that would be my best guess to anybody worldwide who wants to help. You don't have to be, you don't have to be in Florida or in Texas or in Oklahoma. You can be anywhere. You know, you actually be in the Philippines, you know, so, it's not going to matter, you know, where you're at or where you're from or, you know, male or female. If you want to help, you know, this is the time to help. And if you're interested in giving up your time or giving up your treasure, then Veterans 911 is the place to go. You know, it's made up of Americans. It's made up of people who care, like you and I, who, you know, take the time and the opportunity to, you know, do things for each of the individuals who are calling. So,
well, Ken, you just mentioned something a minute ago that homelessness typically starts on your mom's couch.
Right.
Is there a typical pathway? Because right now in America, there's so many people out there, and not just veterans, but regular everyday Americans who are middle class, who are on the slippery slope and heading towards homelessness. There's 35 million Americans have been dispossessed of their homes and are living in cars or short-term hotels. How does homelessness get started? And how do you recognize it? And how do you hit the brakes if you don't want to go that route? Is there any advice you can give to people?
Well, I break homelessness down to homeless veterans. They're about a third. Homeless single adult males, veterans, that's about another third. And homeless women, children, families, that's about the other third. Within those populations, there are, and I think I explained this to you earlier, there are tribes within those populations. And, you know, we as Americans, you know, should be ashamed of ourselves because about 25, 30 years ago, we made a tactical decision that we were no longer going to institutionalize those who had moderate to severe mental illness.
Ken, that happened much longer ago. That happened in 1971 in the Nixon administration, where he decided to empty out the mental institutions and give these people the freedom to make their own medical decisions on their own. That's where the nexus of that began. And I hear our break music.
That was a huge problem.
And then we'll come back in 3 minutes. We'll be right back.
Berkey Berkey Purification Systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. Berkeys are used worldwide under normal, hostile, and emergency environments. Securing your access to good-tasting, sparkling, wholesome drinking water can be harder than you might expect. Water is often laced with chlorine, lead, high levels of harmful bacteria, and other unwanted chemicals and contaminants. Even bottled water can contain these contaminants, and moreover, it's expensive. Other purification systems are inferior. Most do remove pathogenic bacteria, and many remove the beneficial minerals that your body needs. Perhaps that's why Berkey systems have long been recognized as the world's ultimate in water purification. This simple, highly effective method of microporous, self-sterilizing, and recleanable black Berkey purification elements bring you the finest water purification system available anywhere. Call today, 1-800-724-2719. That's 1-800-724-2719. Or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Free shipping for a limited time only.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Good morning and welcome back. This is Mike Harris on the Public Broadcasting Network, along with special guest Ken Smith. So Ken, before the break you were saying that Americans should be embarrassed and that homelessness is broken down into tribes. Can you explain a little more about that?
Yeah, and I guess what I was trying to say is that, you know, a percentage of the homeless are chronically mentally ill. And I don't want anybody to take this the wrong way, but I kind of speak about them as, you know, the human lobsters of the homeless, because you see them pushing shopping carts full of, you know, crap. They collect cans and turn them in, you know, the deposits on cans. They're disheveled. They don't even know what day it is. I'm not even sure if they know what country they're in. And we as Americans should be ashamed and embarrassed of ourselves for allowing that to happen. So, and there needs to be a rethinking of that, and there needs to be institutionalized care that is more humane than maybe what was existing in the 50s and 60s. But these people don't deserve, as Americans, to be living like the human lobsters that they are. So that's what I was referring to the chronically mentally ill that don't even know what day it is. And I also told you that, you know, I broke homelessness into many tribes, and I don't want anybody to be offended by this, but there was the tribe of the Alcoholians, which was the largest tribe. There was the tribe of the Methadonians. the tribe of the Neuroleptians and the Psychotropians. There were the tribe of the virgins, those who were fresh homeless. And it was my way of figuring out where an individual fit into the matrix of my own mind. It was my way of dealing with what I was seeing today. And you know, people always say to me, "Well, why is a guy homeless?" Well, for a variety of reasons. A lot of times, veterans are homeless as a result of a divorce. Veterans are homeless as a result of losing a job. But you know, one story sticks out in my mind where this guy came into the facility. He was obviously intoxicated. Gave him the option. Our dog JD kind of tickled something, and he ended up going to detox, and he came back sober. And a month or two later, he pulled me aside. He said, "You know, I haven't been sober in 8.5 years." And I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Well, you know, I was working for the post office. I came back from Vietnam. I got a job at the post office. I ended up marrying my wife is from the post office. I ended up marrying her. You know, a year almost to the day of our being married, she gave birth to a little girl. I had a daughter, and I'm at the post office working, and my little 4-year-old lit the house on fire and killed herself and her mom. And I'm at work, and I knew something was wrong because the supervisor at the post office and a priest came to talk to me, and they were telling me that my wife and my little girl had died." And he said, "I haven't been sober since. It's been 7 years. This is the first time I've sobered up." Now, I'm not saying everyone's case is that intense, but those are the reasons. People deal with stress and with tragedy in different ways. And if you have a propensity to drink, then alcohol will lead to homelessness, because pretty soon all you're interested in is getting alcohol. And that's why I tell people, if you see somebody who's homeless on the street, don't give them money. You know, don't give them money. If you think they're collecting money to pay the rent, then you're a fool. You know, if you're so enamored to giving money, you give money to programs, not to people. If somebody's on the street and you are so, you have to do something, then go buy them a sandwich or go buy them an apple.
So really, by giving them money, you're enabling them, and you're enabling them to continue in their addiction.
Totally. And make no bones about it. 99.9% of all money given to veterans or given to anybody on the street who is homeless is doing nothing but enabling their addictions, and you're maintaining that homelessness. And they know that they can make you feel guilty. So, you know, they have
We've all seen that. I mean, everybody who's driven a car down a highway or an exit ramp, you pull off the exit ramp and there's some guy there with his sign that says, "Homeless vet, you know, he looks like, you know, lunch from last Tuesday,"
right.
And holding a sign, "Homeless vet will work for food," and he's got his hand out. You know, he's not going to work for food, but, you know, you're exactly right. And you know, I'm glad you made that point, speaking as someone with experience there, because I've had that conversation with people who berate me and say, "Boy, you know, what do you mean? At least you can help him out."
No, so you can't help him. You're absolutely doing the opposite of what you think you're doing. And at the same time, I'd be willing to bet you 50% of the time that person is not even a veteran. So, and I say that with experience, because in Boston there used to be people that would hang up a sign or hold a sign, you know, "I'm a veteran, help me out." And we used to send our security or our former MPs, we used to call them bulldogs. We'd send our bulldogs within a mile of our facility to say nobody panhandles and calls himself a veteran near us. You know, we'll work for our food, but we're not going to beg for our food. So, and the vast majority, 50% of the time, when somebody's holding up a sign and "help me out, I'm a homeless veteran," they're not. You know, if you're a veteran and you see it, ask them what branch of the military he's in. "No, I was in the Army." Okay.
What was your MOS? Yeah.
Yeah, what was your MOS? Where'd you do boot? Right.
Okay, well, there's our music for our break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes with Ken Smith.
Sure.
I keep my eyes from the circling skies. Tongue tied and twisted, just a pearl of mystic
mind.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-4121. Again, 1-888-246-4121.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Here is what one satisfied customer had to say about Heart and Body Extract regarding his angina pain.
I haven't had an angina pain since I've been on it. The Heart Body Extract is just so great. I thank God that I was led to this product that's doing so much for me and that can do so much for other people.
Call to order your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
On the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is Thursday, January 12, 2012. We're on with special guest Ken Smith, and I want to give out our dial-in number for listeners who have any questions for Ken or any stories they want to share with him. Our dial-in number is 1-800-313-9443, and once again, that number is 1-800-313-9443. And Ken, I want you to repeat your statements there about the guy on the side of the road you see with the sign and how he's probably not a veteran and how he's not, that you're not helping him, right? Because I think this is really a critical message out there for our listeners that you're really hurting this guy. So could you please elaborate or repeat that whole message again?
Okay. First of all, I want everyone to understand that, you know, anybody that they see that is panhandling and with a sign that says they're an American veteran, better than 50% of the time, my research shows, better than 50% of the time, they're not veterans. They're saying they're veterans because it's good. Their market research says they get more money if they say they're a veteran. So, but better than 50% of the time, the person who's standing there with a handout with a sign saying I'm a veteran is not. 100% of the time, any quarter, dollar, you know, nickel, dime, whatever it is you give to him or her for that matter, that money is used to support an addiction, 100% of the time. I have never, ever, in 30 years of working with veterans who are homeless, ever found somebody who was, you know, had a bank account, was saving money for, you know, to get the first and last month's rent for an apartment. It's just not what happens. They panhandle for a period of time during the course of the day to get enough money to have enough alcohol for that day. Once that's done, they stop panhandling. So the advice I would give to somebody who is so interested or enamored of supporting people who are homeless, I would say you give money to programs, not to people. So if you're walking down the street, if you're in your car, if something happens and you see somebody holding up a sign, I'm homeless, I'll work for my food, please help me, 99.99% of the time, that's baloney. And that's just what my experience is telling me. So I don't give money to homeless people. I give money to programs. And, you know, if you're interested in, and if you find yourself walking down the street of any American city and you see someone who's holding a sign saying, I'm a veteran, I'm homeless, you know, go buy him a sandwich, buy him something to eat. And you'll see that, you know, that individual will look at you like you've got four heads, because their market research has said it's better to handle or it's better to, you know, ask for money saying I'm a veteran, because you're going to get more money. So my advice to your listeners, all over the world for that matter, is you don't give money to people, you give money to programs.
Well, that's a really good point, and couple that with your research on what charities you're going to give to, and make sure that it's a charity that gives the highest proportion, actually goes to work to help the people, not to pay executives. But, you know, Ken, we gave out the numbers just a moment ago. We've already got callers on. Let's welcome Chris from Tennessee. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm fine, sir, and I want to say that this program with Ken as a guest with the dog really relates to a lot of things, especially the way humans and some veterans have received non-medical treatment. If we would have been dogs, the ASPCA would have came in and condemned a lot of us. But I'm a fallen Marine. I joined the Marine Corps when I was 17, back in 1979, and I got out in 1983, and I was involved in a fire in Camp Fuji, Japan, where 30 of my fellow Marines burnt to death in a fire, in a gasoline fire at Mount Fuji. And at that time, we didn't understand about post-traumatic syndrome and other things that we see now. And we also look at the veterans that came back from Vietnam who were spit on and treated very badly. But the one thing that I did notice, also, when I got out of the Marine Corps, I was ineligible for unemployment because I was eligible to reenlist in the Marine Corps. As for somebody who was kicked out with a dishonorable discharge, would receive unemployment and help. So what I'm getting at is, since September 11th in 2001, a lot of things have changed for veterans, but also I also have received a lot of red tape as dealing with people for at the Veterans Administration, as far as we get credits for jobs and other things, and also an attitude problem. We have a temperament of being leaders, resent authority, which, Ken, I'm so proud of your program and the people that you got there, but that's the reason why you see a lot of people alone, because they're argumentative and they just want to be free, and, you know, they've been given a place to eat and food. But the real reason is they've been hurt inside and they don't want to open themselves up again to get hurt again. That's just my opinion.
Well, that's first of all, you know, I can empathize with your PTSD as it relates to the Marines who were killed at Fuji. And as a combat Vietnam vet, you know, my own PTSD is about, you know, the brothers that I left there in Vietnam that are on the wall in Washington. At the same time, I would think that, you know, that there's a reason that there's a website, veterans911.com, and it actually uses guys like you as its volunteers, somebody who really cares.
And the other thing is the fakeness that I've seen right now by you calling these people out. I've seen that also, and my tolerance level is zero for anybody that claims to be a fake veteran and doesn't even know what an 0311 is. That irks me, and I swear I will just bother. I've got zero tolerance for any type of stuff like that, period. But anyway, let me get off the phone, sir, and I'll listen to Reply on the Air. And it's been a pleasure talking to you. Excellent program this morning. Thank you.
Yeah,
well, Chris, thanks for the call. And just for the record, an 0311 is a Marine Corps rifleman.
That's a mud Marine.
Yes,
and an 0331 is a Marine Corps machine gunner. So if you run across a Marine and they're an 0331, well, every Marine is a mud Marine. So, you know, the Commandant of the Marine Corps first is a Marine. Everybody in the Marine Corps, I don't care if you're the Commandant, if you're a pilot, if you're, you know, you're a cook, if you're a truck driver, if you're, you know, heavy weapons, every Marine is first a Marine. And you're right. And that Marine had it right. If somebody doesn't know what an 0311 is, if I said to a Marine, you know, are you a PI Marine or a Hollywood Marine? And the guy looks at me and says, well, I'm neither. Well, you're one or the other, right? So there are ways.
Either Kid Camp Lejeune or you're Pendleton, one of the two. And that's it. If they don't get it, they don't
Marine
get
Corps
it.
Recruit Depot. It's actually MCRD in San Diego. So you either went to MCRD or you went to PI. So. But you know the idea is that you know we as Americans have an obligation and a responsibility to those that defend our freedoms, and I'm not trying to make light of that. But we also have an obligation and a responsibility to put our treasure into the hands of people that will shepherd that donation, that treasure, to do the right thing. And as I said, I don't affiliate myself to any organization that doesn't spend at least 90 cents out of every dollar on programs. So, you know, I'm going to keep telling you to go to veterans911.com if you want to donate, or go to veterans911.com if you want to volunteer. One of those two things are what this organization needs.
Well, let's give out our phone number again at 1-800-313-9443. And I want to go back to a point you made earlier about how the country, we've done a lot of stupid things in the last 50 years about how we've reinvented the country and have taken ourselves the wrong way. And, you know, I just want to focus on this thing that Nixon did back in his administration when he emptied out and really shut down a lot of the mental health facilities where a lot of the homeless people you see these days really should be institutionalized because they can't be trusted to even do something simple like take their meds on a daily basis. And you know, we don't want to lock people up and spend money and do this kind of stuff, but when people are on the street and they can't take care of themselves, and homeless people don't live long, as you know. I mean, what's the average life of a homeless person? I don't have a statistic off the top of my head, but it's such a hard life that they really don't have an expectation of a 75-year lifespan. And I really think we need to reinstitute a lot of these known good programs that worked and were successful for so long. And it seems like since 1963, you know, whenever they murdered Kennedy, that there was a lot of social engineering has taken place to re-engineer the country. And I'm not happy with the end result as it is today. I don't know about how anybody else feels about this, but I'm not. So anyway, I'm digressing here. But once again...
Well, you know, you're digressing, but you're really not. So, you know, again, at some point in time, our elected officials are going to have to come to the realization that a good percentage, a very large percentage of the homeless in this country are on medication. They're on neuroleptics and they're on psychotropics. And, you know, you take that medication today, you take it tomorrow, you feel good, and then you stop taking it. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're barking at the moon, and so what's the solution to that? Well, the solution is to develop and re-engineer, you know, the institutionalized care so that it's not, you know, I'm not locking people in a room like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Although there are elements of the homeless population that that's what they need to have. There are elements of the homeless population that are chronic alcoholics that, no matter what you do, they need to be medically detoxed. But what we've done is we've deinstitutionalized the mentally ill. We've reduced the number of detoxification programs and services. And as a result, it's like squeezing a balloon. So at one point we say there are not enough detox beds and not enough homeless beds. So what we're doing is we're squeezing the balloon. And at some point, if we wanted to get serious about homelessness in this country, there should be, I would pick up the flag and lead the charge on the programs for veterans who are homeless. Someone would have to pick up the flag and lead the charge on programs for women that are homeless and women with children that are homeless. Someone else would have to pick up the flag and lead the charge for those who are chronically mentally ill, because we have an obligation and a responsibility as Americans. They're still Americans, whether we agree or disagree. They're still Americans, and we have an obligation and a responsibility to them, too. But just to leave them out on the streets like human lobsters is absolutely, I'm embarrassed about. Embarrassed for all of our listeners, and I'm embarrassed as an American.
Where did you get that term, human lobster? That's an interesting term. How did you come up with that?
Well, I'm from New England, so, I'm from New England, and lobsters, are delicious eating, but lobsters, are scavengers of the bottom of the ocean.
Gotcha, okay. You're saying, the lobsters, they're scavenging. These are the guys who are eating out of dumpsters at night when the restaurant closes.
Yes. And they're walking around with shopping carts full of trash and junk, and people look at them and go like, oh my God, thank God that's not me. But you know what? That's brother, somebody's dad, somebody's mom. You need to look at this thing, in a different way.
Well, you're so right about this, and you're so correct, because you look at how much financial and economic destruction has occurred in this country, since really 1998 is when it began. The destruction of the country, the financial destruction began during the Clinton administration, when Clinton and Gingrich conspired to sign NAFTA, GATT, and let China in the WTO, and we deindustrialized. And so many people have been financially and economically displaced. And it's going to get worse. I fear it's getting worse. I no longer believe a word of what this administration or the prior administration say about the financial condition of the country.
Right.
I don't see any signs of things getting better. And I fear that more and more people are going to become among the dispossessed and become lobsters, like you say, human lobsters. And we have to do a better job taking care of our own before we go sending foreign aid and doing other things that are really... Our government needs to separate the difference between needs and wants. We may want to send foreign aid to another country to buy influence, but we need to take care of our own people first.
We do. And we have an obligation and a responsibility to do that, right? And I think those who are listening, first of all, there are some who are listening to this program who have gone to the website, veterans911.com, And there's a button there that allows you to chat online. And there are some that are looking to chat, and by a complete fluke, I happen to be the volunteer on duty at the moment. So if I'm not answering your chat, you know who you are listening here on the program. After this radio program is over, I'm actually on until 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time today. So if you want to come back and chat, you can go to veterans911.com and chat to me that way. But I'm sorry, I can't chat. I'm kind of a one-trick pony, so I can't be talking to Mike and chatting to you at the same time. So I apologize for that, for those of you who are trying to chat to me now, and there are a couple of you. So, but
let me give out the dial-in number one more time. If anyone has a story to tell or wants to talk to Ken directly, our number is 1-800-313-9443. And I repeat it because I know people are, it's hard to find a pen quickly or get a piece of paper. Let me give it out one more time. It's 1-800-313-9443. But Ken, you're absolutely right. We owe our veterans a higher standard of care than what they get. And one of the things that really twists my tail and angers me more than anything else is the level of corruption that exists within our government and the misallocation of resources to where we have programs that they're well-intended. And you said that Boston was giving you $2.35 a day to feed two meals. You can't go to McDonald's on the dollar meal and get two meals for $2.35 a day.
Right.
These programs, they're underfunded, but somehow money is skimmed off, and there's so much political patronage and things, and these are the things that anger me that I think we have to root out of the system. And I don't even know where to start on that. Do you have any thoughts?
Well, the reality is that...
Well, we have a break coming up. Why don't we just hold the answer till we get back for the last 5 minutes of the show.
Gas, bloating, indigestion, constipation that comes and goes. If you're not having normal bowel movements every day, you can suffer from a buildup of toxins that cause upset stomach, constipation, excess gas, or intestinal discomfort. Plus, you could be holding up to 4.5 pounds of fecal waste if you're going to the bathroom only once a day. Even more unwanted weight if you're going less often. But now there's ColonFlow. Non-prescription ColonFlow is scientifically formulated with key ingredients to help restore normal bowel function. And you're eligible to try it free for 30 days. We're looking for participants to receive a free 30-day trial, so call immediately. All-natural colon flow works gently with your body to eliminate toxic waste and maintain your regularity. Colon flow is being released to the general public, and your area has been selected to try it right now for free. Call immediately to find out how to receive your free 30-day trial. Phone lines are open now.
Call 888-446-3902. That's 888-446-3902.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous-based metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, and metal expansion and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate on itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphite. It also offers the tremendous benefit of being non-toxic. It is used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Modern medicine has given doctors miraculous powers. Using 21st century imaging technology, surgeons can peer inside the human body in extraordinary detail. Unfortunately for patients, there's virtually no transparency in the billing process. Too often, patients agree to surgical procedures without understanding the full cost of treatment. But all that is about to change. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is revolutionizing medicine with affordable surgical procedures and completely transparent pricing. Their board-certified surgeons perform over 7,000 surgeries per year at a fraction of the cost charged by traditional providers. The Surgery Center of Oklahoma is perfect for individuals without insurance and people with high deductible plans. If you have a health savings account or self-funded plan, you should definitely consider our services. We even welcome patients from Canada and around the world. Check out our website for all-inclusive pricing at surgerycenterok.com. That's surgerycenterok.com. Or give us a call at 405-475-0678.
On the Republic Broadcasting Network. It is Thursday, January 12th, 2012. We're on with special guest Ken Smith. And Ken, before the break, I asked you a question about how did you manage to feed 700 men twice, three times a day on $2.35 a day? How did this seems miraculous to me. How did you do this?
Let me take a step back. And this goes to that Marine who called to us, right? So And he was a 03-11 Mud Marine. And every one of the vets who came into the facility, it was mandatory, and he can appreciate this, it was mandatory for that veteran to give 4 hours a week back to the facility as volunteer time, and there was 100 ways to do it, including KP. But every weekend, we would go to the large food distribution centers of Boston where there was, you know, like an industrial park where there were, you know, produce suppliers and poultry suppliers and beef suppliers. We would go to these companies and say, look, we have manpower, so I can bring 40 veterans who are homeless to you. We'll clean your walk-ins. We'll clean your docks. We'll sweep your parking lots. We'll work. And for this work, we want food. And so we would do it to the produce suppliers where, we would get all kinds of vegetables. We'd get all kinds of produce. We'd get meat. We'd get poultry. We'd work for our food. And so the vast majority of our food came from our own work programs.
Well, that's really an inspiring story. So that, you know, what you've done with these homeless veterans, it just is proof to me that where there is a will, there is a way. And that sometimes you got to roll your sleeves up and you have to, you know, to get dirty and you have to do the work. But, it's just innovative to me. And like I said, the one thing that I really hate more than anything else is corruption and those who take advantage of others. And I'm just so impressed with how you've managed to find a way, in spite of the adversity, in spite of the difficult odds, to take people who need help and get them to really build themselves up. I mean, they bootstrap themselves by going out and working and cleaning and sweeping parking lots and in exchange for food. But that's really the whole process of bootstrapping. So it can be done.
It can be done. There are ways to do it. So it's not... And again, I can speak almost specifically to the issue of veterans, so I can't speak beyond that. Would that model work for, you know, homeless women and children? I don't think so. But when it comes to veterans, you know, I come from a large Irish Catholic family, so there's always room for one more at the table. But by the same token, you know, I was never given something for nothing. And I worked for, you know, from the time I was old enough to have a paper road to now. And I understand, you know, taking a charity dollar from any of the listeners who are listening right now, if they wanted to, if they wanted to help, they can go to Veterans 911, and there's a way to help there. So,
well, Ken, you made a good point, and there's a lot of us out there. You know, nobody ever gave me a dime. I worked for that. My first job, I was 14. I was a dishwasher, and there is a will, there's a way, and you've really inspired me here. This has been an excellent radio segment. I hope our listeners have enjoyed it. Because there's always a way to overcome adversity, and that's the message that I've taken home from you today, Ken. And like I said, thank you so much for being a guest. I'd like to extend an open invitation to you anytime you want to come back on.
The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, and the government is out to make you pay for it. Can your savings survive a global banking wipeout?